Hey, you're listening to the Upper Room Denver podcast. To learn more about Upper Room, please visit upperroomdenver.com. Thanks for listening.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, good evening. How are you? Good, good. You all look great. I want to thank, once again, just the leadership here for having me. I've shed a lot of tears this week. I was mentored and fathered by a man named Lauren Sanford, who was a strong prophetic voice in the nation. I love the local church, really shaped a lot of who I am today, and he passed 2 weeks ago, and so his memorial service was on Saturday, and I'd been talking with Brian for the last couple of weeks and just asked me if I'd stay over and share tonight, so thank you for having me. As I have been traveling around the nation, I tell people, kind of depending upon where you live, you were impacted in a different way during the pandemic. So for the last 12 years, I've been down in Lakeland, Florida. We have two campuses there called Heart of the Father. My wife and I planted, graduated from Southeastern University. Because of the dynamics in the state there, believe it or not, we never missed one service throughout the pandemic, being in Florida. And so our dynamic there was literally unaffected in terms of having to close the doors from a government perspective. And during the pandemic, I was coming back from Canada up in Kelowna. And the Lord said to me, in the time of silence, I want you to call my people to spiritual violence, which I interpreted as wholehearted obedience to the Lord. And so while a lot of friends and ministers got to rest and recharge and relax during the pandemic, I found myself on a sort of a frontline mission, getting a front row view to what was happening all over America, from California to Washington, D.C. I joked and told people if there was a church open during the pandemic in your state, I'd probably preach there. And so coming into 2021, I began to just pick up on some things that I was seeing around the nation that I kind of want to just share tonight by way of introduction. And then I want to share a dream that I had last night here in Denver that I believe is very much what the Lord is saying to this community of believers. But I would just encourage you to write down Daniel 7. We're not actually going to go there tonight. But in Daniel chapter 7, he has this encounter, this vision with four demonic beasts. And one of the things that Daniel is encouraged to do in this encounter, because he becomes greatly discouraged and greatly disturbed, is this phrase, keep looking. And I believe that there has been demonic principalities and powers really over the last 2 years that have been unleashed in America. So many seasoned voices that you talk to will tell you they feel there's more demonic activity in the nation in the last 2 years than they've ever seen in their lifetime. And so as I've traveled all over the United States during this pandemic, I see folks that are alarmed and that are disturbed by the type of demonic activity that we see manifesting. And just like God encouraged Daniel to keep looking, as he kept looking beyond the darkness, he says that he sees a throne that was set up. And I want to just encourage us, no matter what you're seeing going on in Colorado, what you're seeing going on around the nation, Jesus was really clear that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Whatever that we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But Daniel goes on at the end of the chapter around verse 25, and he speaks of the devil. He will speak out against the Most High, and he will wear down the saints. And we are seeing the devil speak out against God. We are seeing the boys' choir in San Francisco speak out against the church. We're coming for your children. One of the things that has deeply grieved me during the pandemic is that the devil is so loud in America and the church is so silent. He will wear down the saints. I want to alert you to a wearing down of the church, of an accepting of sickness and disease, of an apathy and a complacency and a spiritual lethargy that is taking place in this nation. And I want to prophetically declare to you that now is the time to not run and hide. Now is the time to arise and shine. Now is not the time to check out. Now is the time to check in. And so as you see even Goliath, who begins to mock the people of God, and it says that Saul and his men, the religious establishment of that day, began to cower in fear. There was a man named David who heard the taunting of the Philistine. And rather than run away from the battle, he runs straight toward it. Not because he was a gifted grace guy, but he knew who his God was. And I want to tell you that as the devil is mocking, is taunting the church, is luring us into spiritual complacency and lethargy, God is raising up a remnant in America. God is raising up a remnant in Denver who are going to make war on the religious spirit and who are going to awaken the sleeping giant who is the bride and call her to her destiny. So I'm going to keep an intensity level tonight of about a 15 on a level of 10. I didn't come here to sip coffee and just kind of give you a TED talk. I feel by the Spirit of God that I am here to stir up the Spirit of God living down on the inside of you. I want to tell you, we need lions and lionesses to roar in the church in this day, okay? So I have I come to disturb, I come to provoke. You might hate me, you might want to throw me out of here, but I know that God sent me on assignment. My sleep last night, I'm literally hearing the mocking and the taunting and the laughter of the devil over Denver. I woke up at 3:33 in a hotel in Denver last night, mad. Literally upset that the devil is mocking, he is taunting, he is trying to talk to the church in Denver and lure her to asleep. He's trying to wear us out. And God began to speak to me two specific passages of scripture for you all and gave me some notes that I'm just gonna release into the atmosphere. And just whatever the Spirit of God wants to do tonight, I'm gonna let him do. Is that okay? But this wearing down of the saints, the devil is coming to neuter and domesticate the church. There is a problem in the American church, and it's this. Many of us have served the devil way better than we've ever served God. Many of us used to explore the bounds of darkness. We wouldn't get ready to go out till late at night. We would spend hours clubbing, sleeping with whoever, drinking, whatever, wild ones for the devil, and then we get saved and get plugged into a church, and now the service has to be an hour or I'm bored. It's very interesting, however, that we were out clubbing and having fun with the devil for hours, but now we get saved and we're looking for as little as we can do to go home. I want to encourage you, God is raising the bar. He's challenging his people that were, however radical you were for the devil, you did not get born again to become a religious, domesticated kitty cat in the house of God. God, you're not born again to be tamed. You're not born again to be silent. You were born to roar. You were born to soar. We were born to press the boundaries of how much heaven can we still have on earth and still be breathing. We should not be more familiar with hell on earth than heaven on earth. God is looking for a people who are unwilling to accept the circumstances of the hour, who are unwilling to just believe that America is going to drown in compromise. Another just thing that deeply disturbed me 2 weeks ago, the Christian Post. The title of the article is, "Most Christians in America No Longer Believe in the Holy Spirit." In their poll, they interviewed thousands of people. 62% of Christians they interviewed said the Holy Spirit is not a real person. 60% of Christians they interviewed said that there is equal ways to go to heaven, no matter what your religion is. Folks, we are living in a crisis in America, and it is time to sound the alarm. It is time to blow the trumpet. It is time to confront principalities and powers and declare to them that Jesus Christ has triumphed over darkness. He has disarmed the powers and principalities that be. God is raising up a firebrand generation. He's raising up radical lovers of Jesus. God is calling Denver to the front lines. He's saying, stop taking it. Stop just pulling back. I'm here to call you forward. I want to call you out of disappointment. I want to call you out of discouragement. I want to call you out of hope being deferred. And I want to declare to you tonight that now is the time. God is saying to this community, I got it in a dream last night, now is the time to build the house of the Lord. And it's literally okay if one of you clap, because when you're on assignment and the Lord sends you to a place, you're going to get into a rumble. So turn to Haggai chapter 2 with me. In a dream last night, and I'm hearing the mocking, the taunting, the laughter of the devil over Denver. I've said that I believe during the pandemic, Daniel makes it very clear that Satan is speaking out against God. He's trying to wear down the saints. And the Lord gave me these two passages of scripture for you all last night. And the thing that he said to me is, Jeremiah, tell the people it's time to build. So I'm going to begin reading in the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai is just simply two chapters. There was a decree that was made that allowed a remnant of people to go back and begin to rebuild the temple. And so in Haggai chapter 1, verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What we see in the scriptures is that when the work of the Lord is suspended, when the work of the Lord is delayed, God begins to raise up prophets that begin to prophesy to the people that now is the time to build. We know that in America and the nations of the earth, the corporate church expression was completely shut down in most parts. And so no matter where you live or where you're at, we've been made aware that we're living in days that we've never lived in before. I know that here in America, there was plans to fill stadiums and go after a great awakening in America. So many plans and purposes that people had in their hearts to see in cities and states had to be put on hold during the pandemic. And I believe that we're now in a season where God is going to begin to raise up prophets, and he's going to begin to prophesy his word to cities and regions that now is the time. But we're aware of a conflict here because the people that Haggai is prophesying to have grown comfortable. We know that the Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembly as some are in the habit of doing." There were many places in America that could not meet for concerns over the virus, and I'm certainly not here to give a political speech. But notice that what was once a precaution in many places has turned into a habit. So people can willingly go to a grocery store, but they won't come into the house of God. So there's a realm of complacency and apathy where we were turned inwardly to begin to take care of ourselves and make sure that we've got enough. And so our focus was turned away from the house of God and away from corporate gatherings, and we turn inward. And it's the same in Haggai's day. So the Lord begins to raise up Haggai, and he begins to tell them, now is the time to build the house of the Lord. But the challenge is you've grown comfortable and you've grown complacent in your spiritual state. And he says in verse 5, consider your ways. I've got 7 points tonight for this congregation. And the first thing that I believe the Lord is saying to this house is, number one, consider your ways. We know that the Bible says, seek first your bank account, and then everything will be added after that. Seek first your livelihood. Make sure that you've got everything in order and then give God a little bit of your time. How many of you know that's from 2 Opinions chapter 1? Not in the Bible. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and then everything will be added after that. Haggai is cutting through the comfort and the convenience. I'm telling you, there's a comfort and there's a convenience that's resting on portions of America where now you're going to see the prophets begin to rise and begin to challenge and provoke. They're getting ready to come and disturb what's become comfortable and complacent and probably beneficial for a season. And now the Spirit of the Lord is saying, consider your ways. Can I tell you what the Hebrew says? Shame on you. You know, sometimes the Bible is not as nice as preachers. I want you to feel the weight of what Haggai is saying. Now is the time. God is knocking on the door of Denver. He's inviting you all to build the house of prayer. He's saying you have settled in for a season. You've done this and you've got your respite. You've got your things in an order. You've settled into a way. But now I'm speaking the word of the Lord that you've settled into a state which was fine for a season. But now I need you to shift with me. Guys, I really believe that a holy jailbreak was pronounced on the American church. God literally set millions of people free from Egypt. We are now in the wilderness, and you're going to see a majority of American Christians go back to Egypt, and then you're going to see a remnant of people follow the Spirit of God in the wilderness. The complacency and the convenience and the apathy and lethargy, this has become more than a pandemic. This is a porndemic. Folks, what has set in as people have just begun to enjoy their home and theirs and mine and ours is video game addiction, is dysfunctional marriages, is families that are literally fighting for everything. And I'm telling you, God is sounding the alarm. He's blowing the trumpet in Denver. He is saying, seek me now. Consider your ways. Now is the time to build the house of the Lord. Now is the time to build the house of prayer. Consider your ways. I wanted to point out as well in Ezra 6:14, it says, and the elders of the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. If there's one person here that's called to the prophetic office or ministry, I want to say this to you. The days of conference prophets are over, and we must have prophets who are ready to help build into the house of the Lord emerge in America. We have got to have prophets rise that are more than free upgrades and promotion and your best now and a little tickle me Elmo here and a little make me feel good now. We need prophets that are going to come alongside of leaders and begin to prophesy what God is going to build and establish in this nation. God, give us prophets like Haggai and Zechariah. Lord, raise up prophets in America. Rescue them out of the trappings of the deception of fame and fortune and Instagram and YouTube subscriptions. Lord, give us prophets who are willing to come alongside communities of believers and stop being lone rangers. God has called prophets to train and equip the body for the work of the ministry. You cannot train and equip a body that you're disconnected to. I'm telling you, the unaccountable, the non-community prophets, that season God has done away with, and he's going to raise up prophets from within his house that as they prophesy, as they speak life to dry bones. Folks, we need life in the church today. We need life in the church today. We need something more than this is what's wrong. We need solutions. We need ideas. We need wineskins. We're seeing the landscape of the church shaken, and we're going to see coffee houses and house churches. We're going to see movements all over the earth begin to arise, and it's time to roll up our sleeves, get off the bench, and get in the game. God, give us building prophets. As they prophesied, the house of the Lord was built. Look at verse 12. Then Can you say then? Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. If you're reading verse 12 there, let me point out to you three groups of people. If you're looking at verse 12 there, let me point out three groups of people there. Then Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is a governor. Zerubbabel represents pioneers. Zerubbabel represents apostles. Zerubbabel represents leadership. Watch this. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The high priest represents, we know, the ministry of prayer. So the first group that you have in verse 12 is the pioneers, the apostles, the courageous leaders. The second group that you have, Joshua the high priest, the intercessors, those who contend and press into the Lord. And then the third group that you have is the remnant of the people. When prophets begin to prophesy, what I'm going to tell you is going to happen in America is they are going to stir up the pioneers. They're going to stir up the reformers. They're going to stir up the apostles and tell them, now is the time to build. And as these leaders begin to build, that second group, the intercessors, begin to stand in the gap and contend for the purposes of God to be established in their city. And then the remnant of people in the city are able to gather there. So again, track with me. Prophets are going to begin to prophesy. We are moving into a new era in the body of Christ. Whatever that we were doing pre-COVID, we should never do again. God has dealt decisively with an American church system. He's exposed, he's sounded the alarm, he's produced a holy jailbreak, he's moved the church into the wilderness, and now prophets are going to start prophesying, go this way. Go the way where you have to trust a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Go back to the ancient past. Go away from all your church growth textbooks and your programs and your kitty cat religion. I'm calling a people like I called John the Baptist in the wilderness to hear and obey what the Spirit of God is saying. And as they begin to walk in the wilderness and prophesy, they begin to stir something up inside of the hearts of pioneers and apostles. See, I'm excited because I don't believe we've seen anything yet. We're in an era where I'm talking about marketplace. I'm talking about the ideas, the inventions. God has literally turned our world upside down, and he is beckoning. He is inviting individuals with ideas and inventions and dreams in their hearts, saying, now is the time to dream. And now he's assigning intercessors to these new assignments. He's assigning intercessors to a new breed of leader that he's raising up in the earth. And now he's gathering a remnant of people that are done with status quo. And look there, it says, and all the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So point number one, consider your ways. Point number two, hear the word of the Lord. Point number three, God is with you. How many of us like very specific prophetic words? How many of us would like to know where and when and who and what and why? Over and over again, God doesn't do that in the Bible. He just tells Moses, I'll be with you. Can you imagine going up on a mountain? More than a million people are trusting you. Half of them are moaning and whining and complaining. And you ask God, you get the courage. God, show me your glory. And who really knows what he was expecting? And God, in essence, tells him, I'll be with you. I believe that God wants to comfort people with his presence tonight. I believe that God is stirring on the inside of you to confront your fears. I want to tell you that God is looking for a resilient, courageous people in Denver. And the word of the Lord to many of us is just simply, I will be with you. And is that enough for you to put one foot in front of the other? Thank the Lord for the fleece seasons. I need 68 confirmations. Folks, we're moving into an era where just simply knowing that he's with us must be enough. So the Lord stirred up, verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. One of my primary prayers in this hour is, Lord, stir up your people again. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, the word, part of the prophetic ministry is to exhort, which means to stir up. It means to give a divine summoning. When the Spirit of God begins to stir up in a community, sometimes what gets stirred up is not the Spirit, it's the flesh. Sometimes what gets stirred up is not God, it's the devil. So if the Spirit of God is beginning to stir among his people, we should expect that oftentimes what's going to be stirred up in the midst of a pandemic and begin to face us in the mirror might challenge us whether we just want to take a back seat and sit in complacency, or have we just been given the last 18 months as a gift to deal with our junk? What if the last 18 months wasn't veg out time, Netflix time? The last 18 months wasn't navel gazing time? The last 18 months wasn't just, well, we'll just hang out and hold on until we go back to normal. Folks, normal is not coming back. Jesus is coming back. I need more friends. We need more individuals in our lives that love us enough to not leave us in our compromise, that love us enough to speak truth in our lives, rattle our cages, shake me up a little bit. Lord, we want an awakening. We want revival in America. Well, then really what we're asking is for a holy confrontation. I believe that there are prophetic voices in this room tonight that God wants to break the fear of man off your life. I believe that there are voices in this room that are here to help build this house. And for fear of not being liked, for fear of being misunderstood, we remain silent. And the Spirit of God wants to come and stir you up tonight. I believe that there are pioneers in this room, all sorts of spheres of influence where the Spirit of God is trying to stir you up with a fresh idea, a new invention. I hear in the Spirit new business plans, but you're gonna have to make adjustments. You're gonna have to reprioritize what your life has looked like in the last 18 months to begin to position yourself for what the Lord is doing. I believe the Lord is stirring up intercessors again. It's time for travail to come back to our meetings. It's time to welcome the Holy Spirit, the power of the gift of tongues. We have got to see intercession begins to stir up the saints and position us for what he has for us. So consider your ways. Number one. Number two, hear the word of the Lord. Number three, God is with you. And then number four, take courage. Look at Haggai 2, verse 4. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you. I believe that God is releasing the gift of courageous leadership in this hour. I'm talking about bold, not taking no for an answer. That laughing, mocking spirit I heard in my dream last night over Denver must be confronted. I'm just going to go with my gut. Some of us are unaware that the devil is opposing you. Some of you are just thinking you're in some season where you're depressed and there is an actual spirit of heaviness, a demonic opposition that needs to be confronted and broken off of your life. Our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. Our wrestle is against principalities and powers that are in high places, and the Lord is looking for a bold and courageous people who are not going to run away, but who are going to run to the battle lines and declare the infinite worth of Jesus Christ, that you will not prevail over this city. You will not take our children. You will not wreak havoc in my family any longer. I'm telling you, God is releasing a spirit of fight in the church. He's releasing a spirit of might in the church. God wants to come and stir you up in your most holy faith. God wants to make war on apathy and lethargy, spiritual complacency. God wants to free you from fearing what your friends and family are going to think. I sense some of you are under the power of witchcraft even now, that there is a controlling, manipulative, religious spirit that's hovering over this place. And by the Spirit of God, I declare to you that there is a breakout that's coming. I just release a spirit of breakthrough in the atmosphere. I confront confusion in the name of Jesus, and I declare that God is going to raise up voices of clarity in this hour who are going to thunder from the throne room of God, and they are going to bind the spirit of suicide. They are going to overcome the spirit of perversion that's strangling and neutering a culture, and they have come come not to stroke you. They have come to provoke you. They have come to preach the real gospel of grace that doesn't leave a generation in their sin, but calls them up out of it. I feel the fire of God in this room that's beginning to rumble down on the inside of some of your bellies, and it might have been a while, but I want to let you know that God loves you enough to not leave you where he found you. Come as you are does not mean stay as you are. And the Spirit of the Lord is reaching out in this generation saying, come out from among them. Come out of the shallows of Christianity. Come out of the shadows of nominal Christian living, and let me anoint you. Yes, let me appoint you, for there are many assignments, says the Lord, that I want to release tonight. There are mantles here available for us to pick up, but are you ready? I don't care if I came for one person. And they're doing that over down at Mile High Stadium. And no one thinks it's weird. But one person erupts in a meeting and we get uncomfortable. Folks, there's something wrong with how we have settled for far less than what Jesus died for. If you have a prayer language, I want to ask you to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says to stir yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So God, as we just begin to pray in the Spirit, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you tonight, but just begin to speak in English. But God, I'm just asking all over this room, Lord, as this atmosphere begins to be seated with the word of the Lord, God, I just pray for faith to begin to grab hold of what you're saying to the Upper Room Denver. Lord, we're asking for supernatural grace to begin to build your house. Lord, I'm asking that you would raise up prophets in this movement, Lord, that wouldn't settle for fame and internet fortune. Lord, I'm asking that you would raise up prophets that would be dedicated to building your house. Lord, I'm asking that you would release a pioneering, laboring spirit in this room. Lord, I pray for the gift of endurance. Lord, I pray for prevailing prayer. Lord, that we would not turn back on the day of battle. Lord, I'm asking that you would break boxes tonight. Lord, I'm asking that you would challenge complacency and apathy, and that you would set this generation on fire, Lord. I'm tired of the smoke, Lord. I'm tired of the bells and whistles and the gimmicks and the mimics, Lord. I'm asking for the gift of creativity tonight. Lord, I'm asking for innovation. Lord, for voices to begin to be raised up in every sphere of society. Just 30 more seconds. Just continue to pray. Continue to pray. Let that breakthrough come. Let that clarity of vision come. Lord, raise up warriors and not wimps. God, I'm asking that you would raise up warriors in your kingdom once again. Lord, raise up the lions and the lionesses. Shanda rabakayo roboshia rabakaya roboshia rabakaya rama. We speak courage to discouraged hearts. We speak life to dry bones tonight. I bind the spirit of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Everyone that's under the sound of my voice that's been put in a box, that's been told how to act and what to say, we ask for freedom in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking even in Denver room, in Denver at Upper Room, God, we're asking for something creative, something innovative, something that would have fresh oil on it. Lord, we know that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And so, God, we're asking for a fresh anointing on this house tonight. We say, Lazarus, come forth in Denver. Shake off those grave clothes of religion, going through the motion, drive through Christianity. We call forth Lazarus in Denver, and we say, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is upon you. We declare over Denver that we are in a Kairos moment, that a window of opportunity from heaven is opening up. Lord, we're asking for grace to follow you in the wilderness. We talk so much about abortion in this generation, but you don't hear anybody talk about spiritual abortion. Says that when Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist in her womb and she got around Mary and Jesus in her womb, it says the baby in her womb leapt. I'm trying to tell you tonight that you've got to begin to hang around people that make your baby jump. We have got to begin to protect. Paul told Timothy to guard the deposit that's down on the inside of you. Folks, many of you are aborting the baby that God has placed inside of you by surrounding yourself with people who allow you to settle for far less than what God has for you. God, I'm asking that you would breathe life on spiritual babies again. Lord, I speak to seeds inside bellies tonight of revival and awakening, Lord, of a true Nazarite calling. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, even for those anointed as end time musicians and singers, Lord, that we would just not settle into what's popular, into what's trendy, into what's current, but God, we ask that you would call us back to our first love tonight. Fresh fire tonight. Fresh fire tonight. God, burn up the chaff. God, confront the things inside of us we've allowed to grow during COVID-19. I'm coming after the roots, says the Lord. I'm coming after the little foxes that have spoiled the vineyard. I'm giving you the keys back tonight. God, I ask that you would release the freedom of the Holy Spirit in this place. Freedom from perversion. Freedom from casual harlotry. Haggai tells the people to take courage. And then number five, the next thing he says is shaking is coming. I'm telling you, God is shaking everything that can be shaken in America. And we can continue to act like ostriches and put our heads in the sand and just wait till things go back as normal. But I'm telling you, normal is not returning. Jesus is returning. We are experiencing birth pangs and tremors in the earth. God is literally trying to shift people into destiny. But if we love comfort and convenience more than the will of God, we are going to find ourselves out of the will of God. One more time. If we love comfort and convenience more than we love the will of God, we are going to find ourselves outside of the will of God. Once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry lands, and I will shake all the nations. Anybody ever been in an earthquake? Ever been in a tornado? Ever been in a hurricane? Growing up in Florida, the last one that blew through, I know I'm a nut. You could probably tell that by now. But I told my wife, the eye came right over our city. And I told her, I'm going to go stand right outside underneath the eye, 120 mile an hour wind, just to get in touch with Mother Nature. I wanted to feel in that moment that at a God has the power and the ability to change everything. A shaking has come in great turbulence is upon the earth, and the world is desperate for people who are on alert, who are watchful, who are not trying to catch up with what the Spirit of God is saying, but who are walking in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying, or even are one step ahead. There's a times and a season prophetic anointing that God is releasing in the earth that's going to be a great blessing. So number five, shaking is coming. Number six, a transference of wealth is coming. And they will come with the wealth of all nation. I am telling you, God is not going to leave his people broke and poor. I want to tell you, snap out of it. Do not buy into end time theology that tries to convince you that you're going to be poor for the rest of your life. God is going to raise up Josephs. He's going to raise up Daniels. He's going to raise up men and women of influence who operate in the Spirit of God. Someone say hallelujah. Folks, I'm telling you, God is going to fund his men and women. Don't fall, oh brother, if you preach the truth, no one will, well, if you play worship music, listen, we serve a God who is way better at orchestrating our life than ours. I'm telling you, God is literally, let me tell you a quick story. There was a church in Texas that I knew of 40 people that the pastor had a conviction that they were supposed to keep the doors open as long as they could. Most of the churches in the area shut down. They still haven't opened up to this day. A man came walking through the doors of his church, sat on the back row. At the end of the service, he wrote a check for $1 million. And in the memo, it said, "Thanks for staying open." And it doesn't have to be thanks for staying open, but what if God is saying to you, thank you for obeying me in whatever he's called you to do and whatever he's asked you to step out in this hour that we're living in. What if God is ready to co-sign it? Transference of wealth is coming. And number seven, the best part, and I will fill this house with glory. The latter glory of this house will far surpass the former. There is a glory, and there is a third great awakening coming to America that we have never seen before. There is an outpouring of the Spirit. There is historic revival that's knocking on the door, and I have plans to be a part of it. I am not going to miss out on what the Spirit of God is saying in this hour, because the comforts of Egypt are more of a seducer in my life than the influence of the Holy Spirit. Last passage real quick. The last passage that the Lord gave me in my sleep last night was 2 Chronicles 29, and it's literally one verse. So just to land the plane, I'm in my sleep last night. I hear mocking, I hear taunting, I hear laughter. I know it's the devil. I know that it's directed toward the Church of Denver. I feel in my spirit it's directed toward Upper Room Denver. I feel that there are intimidating, bullying, harassing spirits assigned to this church that must be confronted. The Spirit of the Lord then gave me Haggai chapter 2. I came here and planned a whole different message. I'm literally just being led by the Holy Spirit tonight. He gave me these 7 points that I just gave you. I've never preached them anywhere else. This is not a regurgitated sermon from my last book. I'm literally just here dropping you what the Spirit of God is saying. Haggai chapter 2, it's time to build. God is raising up prophets in this church. He's calling forth pioneering people. He's assigning intercessors. He's transferring wealth. He's saying there's a glory coming here that you haven't seen yet. Amen? But then he says 2 Chronicles 29, specifically verse 11. Not Jeremiah 29, 11. 2 Chronicles 29:11. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and burn incense to him. I believe this is a direct chapter and verse for Upper Room Denver. My sons and daughters, do not be negligent now. But let me tell you what the word negligent means from the Hebrew. This is a verb meaning to be careless, to be thoughtless, to sin. The sin described here is not deliberate sin, but rather one committed by ignorance or accident. Although the sin described by this verb was not intentional, they were still deserving of punishment in God's eyes. Do not be negligent. In other words, when the devil comes knocking on the door, he's not going to say, well, you can either go to the prayer room or go to the strip club. You can either commit to the mandate of prayer on this house, or you can go get drunk at the bar. That is not what God is saying. God is saying, do not be negligent. In other words, there's going to be something that looks very good, that's not sinful, that's going to get in the way of you committing to pray. Would you bow your heads with me?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Upper Room Denver, visit upperroomdenver.com.